Gordon retorted. The producer and director held their ground, and Eisner let the production continue. Even after 48 Hours grossed $76 million and made Murphy an instant movie star, the ill will persisted between Hill and Eisner. It didn't help that Eisner and Katzenberg signed Murphy to an exclusive deal with Paramount that excluded Gordon and Hill. When Hill approached Gordon with his next project, a script he had written himself called Streets of Fire, Hill was still so upset over the Murphy incident that he refused to let Gordon submit the script to Paramount. "This is going to get me into terrible trouble with Paramount, especially with Michael," he told Hill, but the director was adamant. Figuring it was better to break the news himself, Gordon called Eisner. "Look, I know you've heard about this, or you will hear about it," he said of the Streets of Fire deal. "I just want you to know that it's going to Universal and there's nothing I can do about it." Eisner's tone was cold. "If you really wanted to, you could," he retorted. "You're just doing this for the money." Gordon tried to persuade Eisner that because Hill had the rights to his own script, he had no choice, but Eisner wouldn't relent. Gordon was furious and refused to give Eisner the script. Eisner had his staff get a copy, which told the story of a rock musician kidnapped by a biker gang. Eisner read it and said it was terrible. He was gleeful after he saw a preview and pronounced the film a mess. Streets of Fire was a critical and commercial flop. Gordon kept working at Paramount, and he didn't sense any hard feelings on Eisner's part. Gordon brought to Eisner his next project, which was called Brewster's Millions. Eisner agreed that Gordon could direct it as long as he worked for scale. Their lawyers started negotiating a deal, but kept running into obstacles. Paramount insisted on tight budget controls and the right to replace Gordon if he failed to meet a myriad of what he considered minor requirements. While Eisner insisted these were reasonable measures to protect the studio's investments in an unproven director, Gordon was again offended that after his long and successful track record as a producer, he still could be fired from his new project over technicalities. Streets of Fire was then in production at Universal, and Universal executives urged Gordon to do Brewster's Millions with them. But Gordon said no, he was still negotiating at Paramount. As time passed with no resolution, Katzenberg called Gordon. It was a Friday afternoon, and Eisner was out of town. "What's happening with Brewster's Millions?" he asked. "We need to wrap this up. It's gone on too long. Just tell us, is this on or off? No hard feelings either way." Gordon pondered this. "Jeffrey, are you telling me, whether I say yes or no, that nobody's going to be upset?" "Absolutely not," Katzenberg replied. "Just make your decision." "Okay, then. The answer is no. I'm going to move on." "Fine," Katzenberg said. "Good luck." Eisner returned that night, and later that weekend, on Sunday afternoon, Eisner, his wife Jane, and his father Lester walked the two blocks to Gordon's house to see him. Lester Eisner was recovering from open-heart surgery and wanted to thank Gordon for recommending a surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Afterward, Gordon walked back with them. While he was at the Eisners, the phone rang, and Eisner answered. Gordon overheard his end of the conversation. "What? Really? He did what?" There was silence, and then Eisner hung up. He glared at Gordon. "I guess I'd better go," Gordon said. "I'll drive you," Eisner said.